Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Good afternoon and welcome to Engage for Success Radio show number 537, The Impact of a Game-Changing Culture. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. I'm Jo Dodds, your host for today. I'm an engagement consultant working within the Engage for Success core team. The Engage for Success movement is an inclusive movement committed to the idea that there is a better way to work by releasing more of the capability and potential of people at work. We spread the word about employee engagement and shine a light on good practice, inspiring people and workplaces to thrive. And we're widely supported across the UK, involving the public, private and third sectors. If you go to our website, which is engagesuccess.org, you can use the link at the bottom of the page to join our newsletter list, and all our social media links are there too. My guest today is Claire Smith, who's Chief People Officer at Movera, which I think is how we pronounce it. We were just having that very debate as
Thank you, Jo. That's great. Yes,
is that how you Movera.
That's how I say it and you say it. That's great. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. Brilliant. Well, start by telling us a bit about who you are and what you do at Movera.
Thank you, Jo. So I started life out as a solicitor, and I have to say, I don't think I was a very good one, but I moved quickly into business development in the legal sector. So I've built a career of 15 years working in the legal sector and held various senior business development roles, but built this career on great relationships and having really strong, positive, engaging relationships with colleagues and clients and customers. And I've now found myself, I say it's my third but most enjoyable career in the world of people and culture. So I've been with Movera for 6 months and absolutely loving it. So a bit of an unusual route into looking into the world of people and culture, or in old money, personnel. So I've ended a bit of a different route, but I'm really, really passionate about people and being a really engaging employer. So having had so many years building relationships, it's no surprise for me that I've ended up in a career looking after people and focusing on those relationships whilst we're at work. So yes, a bit of an unusual journey to where I am today.
Most definitely. Yeah, well, I'm going to come back to that in a minute, but tell us a bit more about Movera and what you actually do there.
Oh, fantastic. So Chief People Officer, so responsible for looking after all of our wonderful colleagues. And Movera was born as a brand back in October last year. It's actually a flourishing platform business that's really focused on making the home moving experience better for our people, partners and clients, whoever they may be. So we're a combination of tech and legal services in the home moving environment and remortgage world. So something really passionate about, something that's very, very emotive for people. And I'm lucky enough to look after 600 people who support us with that vision day in, day out. So the team I look after at Movera includes learning development, internal comms engagement, talent attraction, workplaces. I kind of put my hand up to say, well, workplaces is definitely about culture. So I look after workplace and really, really enjoying it, and the traditional people operations. And so really, really big role in a great organisation, got a fantastic team. And something I'm really passionate about is making sure we're constantly building and evolving our culture to be the best it can for all of our colleagues.
So I'm intrigued because you said it was formed in November, but you've got 600 people. I can't imagine you've recruited 600 people since November. So how did the organisation come together, and what does that mean culture?
So we are a combination of businesses who each have their own individual brands. So we're formerly known as the ONP Group, including O'Neill Patient Solicitors, Grindy's LLP down in Stoke, Cavendish Legal Group in London. We have Conveyancing Alliance, which is a business out in Woking, supporting our mortgage broker community. So So we're a collection of brands, and we created the new brand of Mivera as the house of those brands, as kind of the leading brand. We also have investments in an organisation called Lava Tech and their Incase technology, and also a joint venture with an organisation called LMS over in Elmiport. So really a full platform business looking after whether it's our people, our colleagues, or our partners, our broker community, our lender panels. So real kind of focusing purely on that home moving and remortgage industry. But yes, Mivera, we were born in October, but steeped in lots and lots of experience and heritage from the brands that are within the home of Mivera. If you pardon the pun. So listeners will have probably come across the brands under O'Neill Patient or Grindy's or Cavendish Legal Group, and you may or may not have had your conveyancing or remortgage looked after by us. So yes, better known individually as the brands, but collectively want to launch as Mivera in October as a leading brand for which they all fall under. So yeah, lots of heritage and experience across the group. Fantastic. So yeah, 600 people across those businesses, and whilst we are always, always recruiting fantastic talent into the business, yes, we've been born a lot longer than 6 months.
And so just one more question about sort of setting the scene. How do your clients interact with you? So where do they sort of come from, and what's the sort of journey within the organisation for your clients?
So we are the organisation, particularly in the legal side of the business, in the three law firms, we are the lawyers that are helping you own your little bit of England or Wales, and we are the people that help you remortgage. So it will be the consumer who we are talking to, helping with their remortgage or conveyance. But as you and I were just chatting then, Jo, kind of, we don't, you know, the world of property law talks a lot about the conveyancing side of it, whereas, you know, of course you want to make sure you legally own that property, but for me and for everyone at Mivera, it's about helping people move into their dream home. It's helping them remortgage a property so they can release some money to refurbish that property. It might be somebody who's downsizing. We're about helping fulfill the dreams of what people come to us for, not just the conveyance of the title. So we often talk about it's such a an emotional and can be exciting or scary or nerve-wracking experience. We want to make sure that we give the customer the best experience when they're going through that journey of buying a home or remortgaging a home or selling a home. So yes, and we're very much client-facing, supporting people using fantastic tech to enable us to provide a great service. So a real combination of technology and brilliant humans supporting people achieve what they want to with their property, as we were just talking about then. So very much customer facing.
So we're going to talk about culture and how important it is in organisations. Shall we start by sort of defining what that is, what culture means to you?
Great question, Jo, and I'm smiling away here because it does mean different things to different people. And I think for me, culture, particularly in the workplace, is it's that Sunday night feeling. How are you feeling, you know, about going into work or walking into your home office environment? How are you really feeling about the colleagues you're going to be working with that day, the work you're going to be doing? And I was lucky enough, when I worked in the legal sector, I had two roles with two companies who at the time were top three best companies. So one was a law firm and one was a call centre. And I kind of think if those two businesses could get it right, you know, any business can. And particularly I think when you're an employee of companies who really invest in culture and engagement, you really do reap the benefits. So for me, I've been very lucky to be the beneficiary of being an employee within companies that have a really strong positive culture. So for me, it's very much about the environment you're provided with, the colleagues you work with, the work you're given to do, but that gut feel about how do you feel going to work on a Monday morning. And I strive to ensure that we do everything we can across my team to make sure our colleagues feel that we're investing in that positive culture for them and their benefit whilst they're at work. Because life's hard enough, right, Jo? So if you can make that time whilst you're working as enjoyable as possible and a really safe space to be, I think, you know, you're taking steps in the right direction.
So you talk about investing in culture. What do we mean by investing? What are we investing?
That's a really good question. And again, I think that the journey I've been on is a mixture of investing time and resource and energy. And of course, there are costs attached depending on the level of investment you want to make. But I think it's, first of all, I think it's getting it on the agenda and talking about what are we trying to do here? What are we investing in? Why are we investing in it? And having those conversations and making the time to have those conversations at exec level. So your first investment for me is that time and resource of getting it on the agenda and having conversations at the most senior level about what you want to be known as employer. And we've heard, I'm sure you'll have heard this, we've talked lots over the last year about this war on talent and how people are now really having to address their employee value proposition, what they're offering, why they're offering it, and what can employees and colleagues expect when they come to work for you. So I think the first place is get those conversations started on what kind of employer you want to be and the environment you want to create for your colleagues, which will help you with your retention of talent, but also make you really attractive as an employer of choice if you're genuinely investing some time and effort into looking after your colleagues. So for me, first investment has to be the time and resource and getting it on the agenda at the most senior level. In terms of investing money, it depends how far you want to go. Certainly the work I undertook at Mortgage Advice Bureau, we set off to look to redefine the mission and vision, and the company had tried that before on their own. And I think that's probably the key takeaway in my answer to that question. If you've tried this before yourself or don't know where to start, there really is a huge advantage in bringing in some expertise, people who do this for a living. And that was certainly the step I took in my last role in looking at who had delivered on helping businesses with award-winning cultures, with positive cultures. So bringing in some expertise to help shape your strategy was definitely well worth doing that in terms of investing money in that. Mm-hmm. But I think if budgets are tight, and of course we know that lots of businesses are struggling, then I think just looking at what small investments you could make into internal comms and engagement and just looking at where you are today. And actually there's a huge amount of power in going out to your people and out to your colleagues and asking them for their input, their ideas, what they think you're getting right, and this goes beyond a traditional engagement survey. This is specifically asking about the culture, why people love for the environment, what could be done better, and asking questions, having a little bit of fun. If the business was a superhero, what powers would the business have? So in terms of investing money, yes, absolutely. If you've got the ability to set aside some budget to bring in some external expertise, I would definitely do that. And working with an agency to help you shape your strategy is really key. But if you don't have the ability to do that, I would just start somewhere with your colleagues and asking them what they love about the business, what they think could be done better, what does the business of the future look like, and spending time and resource with the people who are at the coalface and are your colleagues and employees who will have great insights, great feedback, and great ideas. That's certainly my experience. But I would say if you've got the opportunity to invest in some external support, do it. Because in my last role, MAB had tried it and absolutely got the backing of the board to bring in some external support to bolster the efforts that had been previously made. And that absolutely was paid back in dividends by having that expertise who understood what they were doing in terms of setting the strategy. But that first help, and that'll be what I'll be looking to do within Movera as well. So bringing in some external support, just to kind of bolster the experience and expertise we've already got in-house. And I think one of the best things I learned in my last role, and what has served very well in my new role, is really focusing on internal comms. And if you've got the ability to have someone in that role, that is fantastic. Somebody whose job is to think about how you're communicating with your colleagues. What do you want them to know? What do you want them to do? How do you want them to feel? If you've got somebody who can concentrate on that, that's absolutely fantastic. And that's something I put in place here at Movera, because having that communication two-way with the business and colleagues is invaluable. Really, really has. You and I both know in terms of engagement and comms are quite interchangeable, because communication is so important both ways within a business. That's sort of been my experience. I'm sure you've seen that as well, Jo.
So talk us through sort of how things have gone from October, because as you said, you've got a whole sort of group of separate businesses that are now together as one, and obviously culture is key in an organisation generally, but particularly when you've got a sort of group of sort of separate organisations, bringing them together into one culture is really key. How have you approached that? And I guess it's still quite early days as well, but what have you done so far?
Yeah, 6 months in. So I was lucky enough to join the business as they were about to launch the brand Movera. So fortunately, with the help of colleagues in the business, the vision had already been created. And I think when we talk about vision, it's having that North Star, something you'll be very familiar with, Jo, in terms of making sure that we all know where we're going. And then you can have different cultures within a group, because you want to harness everything that's great about that business. So each of the businesses that we've brought together all have their own great, great qualities. So we don't want to lose that. But what ties us all together is this one vision of we're leading the charge in improving the home moving market. We have this vision that we want to change the home moving experience to be much, much better for our people, partners and clients. And we've got some pillars that we share as a business as to how we direct people and how they go forward to help achieve that vision. So we talk about very much our pillars are around having brilliant people. We talk about having innovative technology, and we talk about having an explorer mindset. And I think as long as you're communicating and sharing that vision and the pillars that you expect from the different parts of the business, that's what's tying people together. We've got fantastic heritage and people in our office in Stoke. We've got fantastic people and experiences in our business in Woking. Across the group, we've got these real stronghold cultures, and it's just making sure you tie them together with that one vision and North Star. And having some, I think, having some uniformity on communications, so we communicate with the business as a whole with a live broadcast every single month. We have regular group-wide communications, group-wide events. We've got joined up learning platforms, so one single learning platform. We've got group-wide departments, like my department, for example, the people and culture team. So I think as long as you've got things joining you together, and you've got that common goal, and that you all know the vision and where you're going and how you're going to get there, I think it's okay to have some different cultures across the business. And we have a very, very strong leadership team, a strong CEO who is constantly sharing the message, repeating the vision, talking openly about the strategy, celebrating the wins, and actually talking about when there might not have been such a great win. And I think that's key as well. Everything goes back to communication, Joe, and driving that engagement. But what I've done since I've joined the business is really focus on that internal comms engagement. So we look at all the channels we've got, all the different stakeholder groups we've got. We have communication planning sessions every month. We ensure we've got different themes that we run regularly through the week, whether that's a focus on learning and development or technology updates, or whether it's customer feedback. We're constantly sharing messages, but internal comms engagement, making sure we had dates to launch an engagement survey. So we hadn't gone out to the population with an engagement survey for a while. So I launched that in March to make sure that we gave everybody the chance to use their voice. And now we're going to play back the results to everybody. And I think these surveys are fantastic. You'll know that I do. You get such absolute great insights and feedback. But I'm really keen to make sure that we share what we can change, what we can't change, what's on the agenda for the people plan for the rest of the year, and be really open with what we won't be able to change in the coming year. So for me, I think the biggest thing I've done is make sure I've visited all of our offices. Personally, I wanted to meet everybody and find out the heritage and what different parts of the business do. But actually key for me has been that internal comms and engagement and being really transparent and joined up in communication across the different brands in the group and making sure everyone has a voice and looking at the different channels we've got to communicate. That's been key for me. I think probably the other thing I've embarked on is an intranet project, which I'm smiling because intranet are only as good as people that look after them and making sure the content there, but if you've got tools like SharePoint or tools like Teams, you know, you can absolutely communicate effectively with colleagues. But we're looking to also have that one-stop shop, that intranet where everybody can go for all the information they need to be able to do their roles and stay connected with the business. And I think that's really, really key for us. So yeah, internal comms engagement, the biggest things I've worked on, together with talent attraction and retention plans. So making sure we are clear what our EVP is, our employee value proposition. What will you get if you come and join Mavera? What will we deliver? What will we give you? What's expected of you? What's expected of us? And being really clear on what that is, because I think that's really important so that the talent teams know and our fellow colleagues, employees, they know what they get through being part of Mavera. And being really clear on that is really important for us. So yeah, those are probably the two biggest areas I've looked at in the last 6 months. There's lots of things we've done. Doesn't feel like it sometimes, but the 6 months have flown by and there's lots of things we've done. And introducing, sorry, Joe, I'm probably going off on a bit of a tangent here. But I think reviewing, as you said we would, I think also I've reviewed our benefits. And not necessarily to significantly increase or spend more money, but really looking at what's important to people. So introducing, for example, a volunteering policy, because people had said volunteering, giving back to the communities in which we operate and work was really important to them. So making sure everybody knew that they were able to take 2 days a year volunteering for a cause that's close to their heart. So I've also looked at what we do for returning parents and looking at learning and development and ensuring we're giving people the time to invest in their own careers and development, tying in with our vision and our mission. Everybody who buys a house has a moving in day off. So when you move house and turn to your first house or perhaps your second, if it's, you know, not your first time buyer, everyone gets that day off of moving in, and we'll also cover the cost of your takeaway. So just tying in with what we do with the business.
I like that.
Yeah, so there's little things that aren't significant costs to the business but mean a lot to colleagues because we've got out and asked people what's important to them. That's been something else I've introduced in the last few months off the back of colleague feedback. So yes, and I think that's really important to listen to colleagues, see what they really want, and then being able to put things in place. And we'll keep looking and evolving our benefits because different things are important to different people. And that's certainly something else we'll have to look back again at. So, but you said we'd go off on some tangents, so I'm glad that we've talked about very different things there. But yeah, three areas I've looked at. Yeah.
So you said at the beginning that obviously your background was sort of fairly unusual coming into being a chief people officer from starting off as a solicitor. What do you think has been the advantage of that, that you haven't come through the sort of traditional route and only been in the people side of things as far as your roles?
I think the advantage, I think, particularly having built a career on relationships, so starting up as a solicitor and being able to communicate with clients and being able to help them get to where they want to as a solicitor and helping them achieve what they want to and building relationships with clients and then with the legal sector and in business development certainly has helped. I think really has helped the fact that I've been able to build relationships and understand the key stakeholders. That certainly is helping me in this role. I think credibility-wise, just saying you're a solicitor often helps people with some of the credibility points, even though I haven't looked at practicing any employment law for many, many years. It certainly has helped in credibility that I actually started life as a solicitor. I think bringing the role commercial aspect, Jo, so the fact that I have worked in business development, I have worked in sales environments, brings that slightly commercial element to my skill set. And also, whilst we are definitely led, the people plan is formed and created and influenced by our people, used to using data as well. I'm used to, from commercial roles, looking at financials as well as useful data helps shape our people plan as well. So what are our people telling us? What is our data telling us? It really helps the people plan. And I think having been in those award-winning cultures before and previous employers has helped, but also I think the shift has changed, as you will have seen, as I have, that if you look after your people and you get your culture right, it will pay dividends for business. And I think focusing very much on guidance and principles to help people in the workplace, you move away from the policies. There's a lot more talk about guiding principles rather than what does the policy say and what does the handbook say. Yeah. So I think that broader experience has definitely helped me, having been a beneficiary of award-winning cultures and the work I did in my last role of redefining a mission, vision and set of values has absolutely helped in shaping what a great people team can do to have a benefit for the business, but also for all of our colleagues as well. So that's definitely helped me in this role and my previous role, that broader experience. And of course, I've got a fantastic team around me who, when you need to have that technical expertise and knowledge, they are there. So I've got to make sure I've got great people in my team supporting on the perhaps more traditional technical HR matters. And that's really key as well. So great team around you.
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you, Claire. It's been great interviewing you today. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much, Jo. Take care.
And just to let you know that Jo Moffat is back next week and she has a returning guest, Lorna Leeson of Little Tent, and they are going to be, I don't know what they're going to be talking about. We haven't got the topic as yet, but Lorna is always an interesting guest with some really sort of up-to-the-minute thoughts on what's happening in the people space. So looking forward to that one next week.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.